But when you take the science behind this fungus and apply it to the mushroom kingdom,
you get a frungus. You eat it, and you become taller. Because that's how science...
You eat it, you become taller. You become a baller.
And you know what happens when you become taller? You fall a lot more. Because gravity works.
Does it?
It works for me, and it'll work for you with 7 easy payments. It's 6.
6 what?
It's for me to know and you to find out.
But how am I going to pay you if I don't?
Attention shoppers. Today's 69 cent special is a 2-pack.
TJ Cole and Kevin Smith.
Welcome back to 69 Cent Special, our lovely shoppers.
Hello.
I'm Kevin Smith.
I'm TJ Cole.
And we got a laid back sort of episode today.
Yeah. Feeling good. That last video was awesome. Fucking future sport.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. And I've been building a 3D printer all day, so Kevin snuck away. And we're doing another Roll For It episode?
Yeah, I ferreted away 3 movies. I'm on a bit of a movie kick.
Okay.
So I wanted to watch a movie.
Cool.
Relax, shoppers out there.
Don't do it.
We'll get back to the religion.
Yeah, we'll get back to the whatever other garbage we scrounged up.
Yeah, but these 3 are movies, and I think they're right around the right quality level.
Cool. I'm excited.
Now, do you want to know the movies before we roll, or do you want to roll and then find out the movies?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me know the movies beforehand, because then I can have my hopes dashed.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Were they right there the whole time?
No.
Okay.
When you went back upstairs, is when I put them down there.
Okay.
So I would have access
to
them.
They were on the second level of my coffee table where I had been for the past 4 hours. So I was very concerned that my perception is gone.
No. Okay. So the first one is Call the Conqueror, starring Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, hell yeah.
The second one is They Are Among Us, Director's Cut, starring Allison Eastwood.
Nice.
And the third one is Everyone Loves Mel, starring Ernest Borgnine as a fucking turtle.
Yes. This... Oh, man. Well, you know my number one's going to be Everyone Loves Mel.
Right, but it's hard to choose.
With Ernest Borgnine as an animated turtle. But, God, those all sound good. I mean, we got Kevin Sorbo, the Cull Man.
Mm-hmm.
We got probably a C-grade action flick. Looks pretty...
C's generous.
A G-grade action flick.
There we go.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm excited. Do we want to... You know what? Let's roll right now so we can actually decide what the fuck we're doing. Let me get a die.
I mean, I have a D20 right here.
Oh, my God. Oh, you're right. The one that taunts me.
Yes. The Simic D20.
From Ravnica Allegiance.
Which does not have any blue on it whatsoever.
For a green-blue guild, get out of here, Wizards of the Coast.
This is the piss-flavored vape of die.
It made me so mad.
19 and 20, I reroll. Everything else divides by 3.
Perfect. Sounds great.
Okay.
All right. Round up or down?
Okay. So everything else is like 1, 2, 3. Like in that order.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get
so
me.
One, yeah, yeah. You mod 3 it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That one.
Yeah. Got it.
All right, ladies and germs.
A penis.
16.
So that would be... 15 is 3, so that'd be number 1, which was Cull the Conqueror.
Cull the Conqueror starring
Cull
Kevin
the
Sorbo.
Cull the Conqueror starring Sorbin Kevo.
Yep.
Kevin Sherbet.
Kevin Sorbet.
Kevin Sorbet.
Kevin Servo.
Cruel. Wait, that's a different movie.
Cull.
If you're wondering how we find these films and other science facts, la la la. Just repeat to yourself. Keep listening, because we need the views.
I should really just relax.
For 69 cents special, we're getting sued. All right, how's the Duved look?
Never been watched.
The disc is untouched by human hands.
Also, I somehow managed to pry it open.
Dude, it's got like those. It's like the security.
They got
DVD
the security.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
No one touched it because no one could get in, and we cracked the code.
I literally ripped it open without even noticing those were on there.
It just popped open?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Give me the back. Did I read Future Sport? I don't care. Read the back.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm reading this one.
Sure.
I'm tormenting you with this.
I'm sormenting.
Sexy action superstar Kevin Sorbo of TV's Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, slams evil as Kull the Conqueror.
Oh my
God. A fearless barbarian warrior who, through skill and bravery, becomes king. Wow. Worshipped by his subjects for his mercy, adored by the beautiful fortune teller Zarada, Karina Lombard.
Oh.
Lombard.
Oh.
For his valor, with a U, Velour.
Velour.
Kull quickly becomes the mortal enemy of the forces of darkness, led by the villainous Akivasha.
Ooh, bless you.
Tia Carrera.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Well, it's a sword and sorcery extravaganza, says Michael Medved of the New York Post. Probably called them a bozo at some point.
I hope so.
It's from Universal Pictures.
Ah, wow.
Directed by John Nicolela.
Bless you. Could you spell that?
N-I-C-O.
Hold on.
Well, that's his last name.
So. N-I-C-O.
L-E-L-L-A. That's his last name.
Okay. Mike Nicolela?
John.
Apparently there's a Michael Nicolela who is a classical guitarist.
Oh.
John... American film, television director, and producer. Let's see what he's done. Probably. Oh, he passed away in 1998.
Hmm.
Rest in peace. Let's see. He began his career working as an assistant director on the Ivan Passer-directed film Born to Win, 1971. Other films soon followed. The Paul Newman-directed film The Effect of Gamma Rays on the Man in the Moon Marigolds, 1972. Crazy Joe, 1974, starring Peter Boyle. Sweet Revenge, 1976, starring Stockard Channing and Sam Waterston.
Mm-hmm.
And Times Square, 1980. He was also a production manager... excuse me, outside. I'm talking. He was also as a production manager on the film Saturday Night Fever and Curse of the Pink Panther.
Oh.
In 1984, he joined the production crew of Miami Vice. He's worked on a lot of TV.
This movie came out in 97.
97? So the year before he died.
Yeah.
His feature film credits, Sunset Heat and Kull the Conqueror. He has only other one other feature film.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Sunset Heat. All right, let's see. Kull the Conqueror.
This apparently has a tour book.
Oh, okay.
So.
It had a budget of $20 million.
Ooh.
And had a box office of $22 million.
Hell yeah, brother. You know what that means? Make a fucking sequel.
This film was originally intended to be the third Conan film. The protagonist was changed due to Arnold Schwarzenegger's refusal to reprise his role as Conan and Sorbo's reluctance to redo a character already played. The plot thickens.
Or thins, depending on how you look at
the
it.
The plot waterifies.
The plot gelatin.
Oh, okay. Here's something to keep our hopes up.
Ooh.
Screenwriter Charles Edward Pogue has stated on several occasions that he was extremely displeased with this film, feeling that his script was ruined by studio interference. Brace your buttholes.
Prepare your butts.
I'm not going to read the plot. Let's see. Cast. I don't know who any of these people are.
Well, besides Kevin Sorbo.
Tia
Carrera. Looks familiar.
The film received mostly negative reviews. On Rotten Tomatoes, this film holds a 26%, which I think is far too high for us.
it's far too high for our average.
Yeah, exactly. Debuted, blah, blah, blah. Oh, man. I am very excited. Kull the Conqueror and IMDb. What's the IMDb rating for this bad boy? 4.8.
Perfect. Well within our range, baby.
God almighty, I am... Oh, I think I do recognize Tia Carrera.
Yeah, right?
There's a guy named Lightfoot, I guess. Harvey Fierstein.
What, really?
Yeah, he's a guy named Juba.
Uh-oh.
Not Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, Fierstein.
Fierstein. He's a... Yeah, different guy.
I think I know him.
He was in Mrs. Doubtfire as Frank.
Got him.
And Mulan as Yao.
He's also Jeff Goldblum's gay Jewish friend.
Oh, okay.
In Independence Day.
Gotcha.
Possibly his dad?
I don't remember.
I think it's his dad. I think he's his dad. And I don't think he's gay in that movie.
Got it. Okay, I am stoked. So let's, now knowing that this was originally a Conan film.
Disappointed!
So it was originally going to be called Conan the Conqueror.
Probably, yeah.
Yes, that's what it said in the IMDb.
Oh, all right, well, fair
enough. But Mr. Schwarzenegger denied, and Kevin Sorbo didn't want to play Conan.
Right.
So they made it Kull. Mm-hmm. They could have chosen any name in the universe. They went with Kull.
At least they didn't go with, like, Zardoz.
Or Cum.
Cum the Conqueror.
Okay, expectations.
He's going to be shirtless for the entire film.
Oh, 100%. I think they are... One of the things is, with this originally probably being completely written as a new Conan movie, they're going to do as little as possible to change the script while making it quote-unquote distinct from Conan.
Right.
So he's just going to look like Conan.
Sure.
Period.
Yeah.
I'm going to be sad that there's no... who's the guy that did the voice of Darth Vader?
James Earl Jones.
Yeah, there's not going to be a James Earl Jones.
Well, I mean, he was in the first one.
He was in the first Conan.
And he died.
I know, but he's not going to be in...
I mean, why would he be back?
Who knows? As a ghost? Snake ghost?
Ghost snake!
Ghost snake!
They're the most deadly animal.
Okay, look at that cover, though.
The cover...
Look at that battle axe.
Is so, he's having, like, a battle axe orgasm.
Look at that. Oh, my God. You're going to see this in the show notes, but... I have a feeling this is going to feel very TV movie, because it was directed by someone who's done a lot of TV.
Oh, yeah.
A Sword and Sorcery Extravaganza is taken very out of context because there's ellipses on either side.
Oh, yeah.
So I assume he said
this
before,
movie wants to be a Sword and Sorcery Extravaganza, but fails miserably.
A Kevin Sorbo fuckfest. This is the correct format.
Widescreen.
Widescreen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me otherwise. It is PG-13.
PG-13.
PG-13, which was a new rating introduced by the MPAA. For how many pajamas you're supposed to wear.
13 sets of pajamas.
13 sets of pajamas. So that's a lot of pajamas.
Or it's suitable for pajama parties if you're 13.
Exactly. Big egg. Exactly. This is a single layer disc. Sorry.
I don't think there's going to be any eggs in this movie.
I don't think there'll be any eggs. You're right. But I said egg anyway.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to have a counting gag.
Ooh,
where I
good.
Count the number of scenes where Kevin Sorbo wears a shirt.
Ooh. Over under on that.
I'm going to go...
Over under 3.
Yeah.
Over or under?
It's going to be under.
Under 3? Yeah, I'm going to say under 3 as well.
Yeah.
That's
a safe bet.
Because both of the pictures on the back and the front show him without a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So there's already that. Also, courage conquers all. In tiny font. Oh,
shouldn't
man.
Be Courage the Conqueror, then?
Courage the Conquering Dog? Yeah.
The things I do for conquering.
Angry Beavers.
Wrong network.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. This disc is compatible with all DVD players displaying these symbols. Okay, good. It's a DVD. But, yeah, no. With the news that this has a 4.6 on IMDb... I'm fucking stokerinoed, bro.
Oh, could you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
And does it list the special features on the back?
Kind of.
Do we have interactive menus.
It doesn't say. It doesn't say we have an interactive menu, guys and girls.
Fuck.
But we do have subtitles.
Okay, oof.
And, yeah, it doesn't list the features because I think this is...
This is after they stopped, like, listing special
features. Yeah, because you just assume you have a menu. It does have 5.1 surround sound for my single sound bar.
Well, that's good.
All right.
We'll be able to be fully immersed as we cut directly to Call the Conqueror.
Here we go!
This movie was garbage.
It was amazing garbage. It's like when you see a pile of trash, but in it you see the shape of a wolf.
Three wolf movie.
Three wolf trash.
There were no wolves in this movie.
No, there were a lot of tigers, though. Not real tigers, but like shitty drawings of tigers.
Yeah. Well, stylized.
All right. So before we jump into what we can call quote unquote plot, we need to preface this with the fact that one, there were 10 scenes of Kevin, Mr. Sorbo with his shirt on.
Disgraceful.
We were wildly disappointed by the quantity of shirts.
Right.
On the Sorbo body. So
now I did not count scenes where it was continuous. So
correct.
If he started with a shirt and then it cuts to the next scene that he's in and he's still in that shirt, I did not count that.
Correct.
Otherwise, it would be somewhere around 15.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I also did not count when, you know, he's in shirt, we cut to somewhere else, and then cut back to him, and he's still in the same shirt.
But within the same, like, time period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, just FYI, my voice might get a little hoarse, because it's a little late.
Mine, anyway, too.
Yeah. So,
more professional podcasters would probably take this time to, like...
make some honey tea.
Or, like...
not.
You know, postpone the recording.
Yeah.
But we want to do this when it's fresh.
Right.
Because we will definitely forget.
We're going to forget it at the end of this episode.
Yeah, every single thing that happens in this movie, I'm going to forget.
So this movie starts.
It opens.
It opens with the buttliest butt rock. So it starts with like a crawl of
quick,
like,
narration.
Really terribly set up world building.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, it's the writers fumbling to, like, not have it be
Conan.
Conan the Barbarian.
Right.
Although apparently Call the Conqueror is like a Robert E. Howard.
Really?
Like, property.
Okay. Well, it just said based on.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, we thought it was based on that because it's based on Conan the Barbarian.
Okay.
But no, Call the Conqueror is also like a thing.
Oh.
It's not this.
Okay. Just but, by name?
Yeah.
Got it.
That's probably why he's called Call.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. 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 That makes sense. So, yeah, we get the crawl and then immediately get the buttliest butt rock.
Because Kevin Sorbo, and we're never going to call him Cull.
No, Kevin Sorbo. The Sorbinator.
He's fighting this
army? He's
fighting
like an army. He's got his battle axe. It's like nighttime and puddles on the ground, fire lit, you know,
yeah,
orange.
Yeah.
Lots of orange.
Standard, like, first stage of a hack and slash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. This is the, you're learning the controls level.
Yeah. This is the video gamiest movie that I've seen in a long
really
time.
It really is.
And we saw Future Sport.
We saw Future Sport.
Actually, you know what? The way that this movie tells its story is very similar to Future Sport.
What?
Just fast.
Yeah.
Fast and
but
nothing
matters.
But with
Future Sport, it slowed down pretty quickly after the exposition intro.
Yeah.
This was... I don't think there was a single scene longer than 45 seconds.
There were a couple that were like 2 minutes.
But it was all exposition, usually.
Or fight.
Or a fight, you're right. So we open, Kevin Sorbo's fighting this dude.
So he's fighting, and we know nothing about
Kevin
Sorbo.
We know nothing.
Sorbo.
And it's going on, and then he goes to swing and decapitate his soldier, and everyone stops fighting.
Because the general calls, like...
General Kenny Loggins.
Yeah.
And he's like, stop! And then they have some, like, Cullen...
He taunts him, and they...
Cullen fuckwit.
Cullen's apparently trying to join this army by beating the shit out of it?
I don't... nothing is set up.
Is that how you join armies?
I don't know, dude. And so he's
like,
all right.
You have to beat up everyone in the U.S. Army before you can join it?
That's exactly how it works.
Wow.
That's exactly how it works. How did you know?
How do we lose any wars?
Wow. Vietnam. And so he takes Cull's axe, throws it. He's like, that's what a barbarian fights with.
A barbarian weapon.
And gives him a flaming sword.
They both have flaming swords.
They both have flaming swords.
And then they both get blindfolded.
They both have magical size-altering blindfolds that change depending on the cut that it is.
Yeah.
And they start fighting, and it's stupid, and it makes no sense. And then...
That right there, that sentence?
Mm-hmm.
That describes the entirety of the movie.
Pretty much.
And then they fight, and it's bad, and it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Long story short, he doesn't win the fight, I guess.
He loses the fight because he's blindfolded and using a weapon that he's unfamiliar with.
Yeah, you know.
You know.
You know.
Normal shit. But the general gets called away because the king is apparently murdering all of his heirs.
Yeah, because what I assume, because again, this has no seconds of build, is he's just gone crazy. And so they go back to the castle, and apparently Kevin Sorbo followed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's
to this,
like,
thing that he has no business
has
being
no
in.
Fucking business. And at this point, I was like, this is a bad D&D. This is a D&D campaign gone horribly wrong.
And this is the moment that Kevin Sorbo like pulls the entire
completely crowbars his way into the plot.
Yeah. Cause he shows up and the fucking king, like, tries to kill General Man.
Mm-hmm. And then Kevin Sorbo, like, stops him.
Stops him and then kills the king.
Yeah, yeah, like, sword fights with him for a bit, and the king's like, ha, I'll let you live. And then he turns around and then, like, oh, I was kidding, and goes for Kevin Sorbo's head, but Kevin Sorbo ducks and stabs him in the stomach.
Right.
And so they're like, oh, the king's dead. That means Kenny Loggins gets the crown. And
But then Kenny Loggins' nerdlinger cousin.
Dave Coulier comes marching in, and... I think this is at least the third time I've considered someone in a movie Dave Coulier.
And none of them have ever been Dave Coulier.
Ever looked like Dave Coulier.
At all. This guy is the least Dave Coulier of the lot.
He looks almost like if you took a picture of the underside of a penis and gave it blonde hair. And so he comes marching in. He's like,
the fuck on.
You don't get to say that. I just did. Fight me.
The underside of a penis and give it blonde hair.
Yeah,
it's accurate.
I know.
Problem.
Because he comes swagging in like the little shit pistol that
he
is.
And he's like, no, I'm next in line
for the king.
And the king is still alive somehow, and he just gives the
he's
crown.
He's like, nah, fuck y'all. Cole gets it.
He gives it to Kevin Sorbo. And
Kevin Sorbo's like,
I'm super not sure about this.
Yeah.
And the fucking court eunuch.
Yeah.
Shows up and is like, oh, we have to...
You have to respect the law of...
That's his character, entire movie.
Yeah. And he also wears, like, colanders on his head.
He wears an ever-increasingly dumb...
Stupid.
...levels of hats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I pictured it in my head that whenever there's a new king, he, like, has a series of hats that he has to wear, like... On each day, he gets a different stupid hat.
It's like
hat.
The cycle of the avatars.
Yeah. Except it's him.
The cycle of stupid hats.
Yeah. And it's every time there's a new king, he has to, like, cycle through all the hats. So
I
whenever. But the first hat
I love
is
this lore. Because there was none given to us.
The first hat is his least favorite, which is why he hates it when a king dies.
Oh, yeah. And that's the stupid, like, strainer.
No. That's the colander hat.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
The salad strainer hat is, like, his favorite.
Got it. Yeah. So, Kevin Sorbo's king.
Kevin Sorbo is now king. This, by the way, took, what, 10 minutes?
like five.
Yeah, like five
this
minutes.
This was instantaneous.
This basically is the plot of a full movie.
Yes. Yes.
And it's happened in 5 fucking minutes.
Yes.
Can you imagine how tiring this
there
movie is?
There was no build up to knowing why the king would do this.
No.
It was just like a plot device. That's
we
all
also
it was.
Don't know Kevin Sorbo's character.
We don't know why Kevin Sorbo followed shitty McKenny Loggins into the castle.
We don't know anything about Kenny Loggins except
don't know
like
anything about Kenny
he's
Loggins.
Kind of a snob.
Yeah, and he's of royal blood.
Right. And he's into that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the less we know about Uncle Jesse,
Uncle Jesse's
Eric Stamos.
Eric Stamos.
God,
John Stamos's clone, Eric Stamos.
Hello, it's me, Eric Stamos.
Hi, I'm Eric Stamos.
Eat Greek yogurt.
Was he in Greek yogurt commercial?
Yeah, it was for Oikos, I think.
Oh, okay. Oiko boiko. And they show him around the castle. And well, they're like, he tries to free all the slaves because he's like,
yeah.
Why are y'all slaves? That's stupid.
Yeah, there's one thing that we know about Kevin Sorbo throughout the entirety of the film, mm-hmm. he hates slavery.
Yeah.
And
he's
I'm like,
a barbarian?
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a Conan thing, too.
Probably. But,
or Conan, if you prefer.
Conan.
Konami.
Konami.
Konami the barbarian.
I mean, if you ask Kojima. But so he's like, oh, free all the slaves. And they're like, oh, we can't. He frees a couple. And then...
Well, he's like, well, you will get paid a fair wage.
Yeah, because he was born in the castle.
And then he tries to free a guy who's a foreigner.
He does, because he gets out.
No. He gets stopped at the door.
Oh, I thought he gets stopped past the door.
No, it's at the door.
Okay. But because the eunuch and his band of giggles.
You cannot free these slaves.
Well, it is allowed by law that we own slaves and whatnot. And there's also like a harem because, you know, based on Conan. And
this place is also a weird Mesopotamia.
It's like Mesopotamia.
Well, they write in cuneiform.
Yes. Which is very Conan.
Yeah.
Like the
Samaria
very ancient.
And,
cradle of civilization sort of stuff.
Yeah. Also, Kevin Sorbo announces that he's Cull of Atlantis?
Yeah, that's just sort of glossed over.
Like, no other Earth-sounding...
Because he says, I'm Cull of Atlantis, and he goes, Atlantis. And that's, like, all we get of it.
Apparently, Atlantis
There's no,
is, like
Atlantis,
a...
I thought that city sunk thousands of years ago. And it's like, no, we put the CDC there, and it's in Georgia. And stuff like that.
For you shoppers at home... when he was saying that sentence, TJ was, like, moving his glasses up and down the whole time. Like, he's a wacky, like, puppet scientist.
It's late. And so there's also a fortune teller there who apparently he knew.
Yeah, he knew and banged one time.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least tried to.
Yeah, and so he says, like, hey, bring the cards to my chambers
and read my fortune. And it turns out to be exactly like, again, back to the Dungeons & Dragons thing.
This was him literally flipping a deck of cards and being like, this is what you get.
Yeah.
I got to build a campaign around this. Fuck.
Well, because at this point, our fictional DM
mm-hmm.
is floundering.
Oh.
Because this guy was
panicking.
He was not meant to become king.
No.
He rolled extraordinarily well.
This is how I imagine the first few scenes roll out.
Okay, sure.
And I could see this being like a one-on-one campaign. Guy playing Cull and a DM.
So this is probably like a session -1.
Okay.
Like not even a session 0.
Mm-hmm.
Where like they're doing one-on-one sessions to get everybody's like backstory like
mm-hmm.
fleshed out and get everybody to like level 3 or something.
Sure, yeah. And so he starts, and they start him in the fight scene, because he's like, oh, this will be good. He can get used to
his
character.
Yeah, he's a barbarian. He probably wants to start in combat.
Yeah, and then he like has this idea that he's going to beat Kenny Loggins, because he's a barbarian.
Right.
Kenny
Loggins is like doing like dexterity stuff, but he can't see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like everyone's at a disadvantage.
But Kenny Loggins ends up winning.
Right.
And he's like,
because the barbarian, like...
And this is the kind of DM
roll.
Who only follows the dice and doesn't fudge shit.
Right.
And so he's like, ah, fuck.
Or maybe Kevin Sorbo's character, like, or his player,
mm-hmm.
Who actually, I think I want to distinguish Cole from Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, okay.
Kevin Sorbo is the D&D player.
Got it. Okay.
So Kevin Sorbo is like, no, you rolled that. We're going to go with it.
Okay. Got it.
Because he's a purist. Mm-hmm. And the DM's like, are you sure you don't want me to fudge these numbers, right. My dude?
And then he uses the other guys, because he uses the other guys coming in as an excuse to get the army to leave so mm-hmm. he can go somewhere.
Right.
But instead, the character's like, no, I'm going to follow him.
And he's like, I did not plan on showing you this. This was supposed to be like spoiler territory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's like, no, I'm going.
And then he's like, all right, I'll let you go if you roll a good enough stealth check. And he gets like a nat 19.
And then like,
and so he just shows up. And then he fucking like crits all of his combat checks. He crits a dex save to not get his head lopped
yeah.
off. And
gets a riposte out of it.
Yep. And he gets the crown. And the DM's crying at this point.
Well, because he also has like a really good like persuasion check on the fucking king,
right? Somehow it's just like a persuasion check because you know he has like a minus in persuasion or something.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, the only way I'll get this is like a nat 20. I mean, nat 20s, and
he rolls at a disadvantage.
And yeah, he rolls at disadvantage, two 20s, and becomes the king. So that's where we are right now.
So now he's getting his fortune read.
Yep.
And
it was what?
So the first one was his spirit.
Tiger.
Which was tiger. And he's like, oh, that's my totem.
No, people call me tiger. Blah.
People called me tiger when I was a pirate.
Yeah. And we're like, okay.
That's literally the first thing that we know about him.
It's some of the worst attempts at non-exposition based world building and storytelling that yeah. I've seen. Like, it is bad.
Because it is exactly just exposition.
Yes.
But like.
But they're trying to not have it be exposition.
Right.
Because they're just like, oh, like, this is just what he'd say. But it's clearly not what a human would say or a
right, which is why it feels like, you know, they're setting up his backstory in, like, a one-on-one session.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. He's not even used to his character's voice yet.
Yeah.
And so she tells the story, and there's a bit of, like, little teasing. And, like, it's this sort of kind of iffy scene where she's constantly asking, like, do you want me to undress? And like it gets to this discussion of like, oh, I'm a slave. Like,
oh, no, we haven't gotten there yet. We're still reading the.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry, there were more cards.
The cards. The second one was like.
I don't fucking remember. I don't remember shit.
Oh, it was a quest.
You're
going to go on a quest.
Yeah, congratulations.
And he's just like, I go on a lot of quests.
Yeah, my whole life is a quest.
And then the third one was a kiss, which is to determine like the fate of his kingdom.
Mm, the fate of your kingdom will be determined by a kiss or something right. like that.
That is exactly it.
Yeah.
All right.
So he goes in for the smooch.
He gets a smooch.
From, what's her name? Xanarans? Xanaran spicy rice? I don't know. Hold on. It starts with a Z, I think.
Zendaya. Zarada.
Zarada. So, Zagara.
Yeah, he steals a kiss.
And she...
And she's like, would you like me to undress? And she's like...
Yeah, very like robotic.
Deadpan.
Yeah.
Like, in the way that you would expect. She actually does a really good job, this actress.
Yeah, I think in terms of acting, they did what they could with what they were given.
Sure, except for Kevin Sorbo.
Except for Kevin Sorbo, who was there for a paycheck and to show off his pecs.
And he doesn't even get to do that all the
time. No, because there are 10 scenes of him in a short.
And they're all bad shirts, too.
Yes. Shirt, not shorts. You know what I mean.
But, marinara.
Marinara.
So.
Subscribe to Brutalmos.
We, yeah, it's a long, awkward scene.
And he, like, gets around the bed and he's like, I don't
want it unless you're, like, enthusiastic about it. And she's like, I will service you. Mm-hmm. In this
room.
That's
my job.
Because that's my role here.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not going to be enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Don't confuse compliance for enthusiasm.
That was the line.
Is, I believe, the exact line.
And so he's like...
And that's like, ooh, good line! Like,
that was, like, number negative one.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we're up to negative one.
Yeah. Because there have been started so negative many five. Shit lines since it started.
Yeah.
So that scene ends?
Sort of. It just sort of ends.
It just sort of ends. I don't remember what's after that.
The coronation, I think.
Oh, yeah. This fucking...
And, like, two assassins show up.
Oh, yeah. Spies, I believe. And then that's where we're
it
like,
very clearly...
Oh. It, clearly, it's Dave Coulier...
and Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins and some other guy.
We don't meet the wizard yet.
No, there's a third dude other than the wizard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The guy.
Yeah, the dude.
We actually never see him again after that scene of them later at the gate.
Yeah, I think that was like a deleted plot thread.
He just ceases to be.
Mm-hmm. And so where it's like clear that they're trying to kill him because they were all successors to the throne.
Yeah.
And.
Which like, yeah, that could be a good plot thread.
Yeah. Okay.
If that was the entirety of the.
Intrigue.
Well, if that was the entirety of the plot,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It might
them,
not be terrible.
Them trying to kill him and him having to, like, navigate, like... Because he's a barbarian, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So dealing with, you know, court...
Oh, yeah, the civilized...
Intrigue.
Yeah, bullshit.
He's like, oh...
Yeah, I gotcha,
that's
gotcha.
Kind of fun. It requires him to have someone that, like, knows this sort of thing. Like,
and they're,
the back
they,
of
yeah,
her hand.
They, Zagana, what is her name? Even talks about that, like, I know the intrigue around here or something like that.
Zarada.
Yeah. Errata.
Yes. But he then ends up going like on a ride through town.
Yep. Like giving his prince and princess waves to everyone or whatever while
yeah,
people
yeah.
are cheering. And then he sees this dude getting tortured.
Yeah, just getting whipped.
Oh, that was the guy. The priest dude.
Yes.
The torturer, I should
yeah.
say.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was the third guy.
Uh-huh.
I don't know his name. But so
we ever get his name.
He horses on up and he's like, what did this man do?
He's like, he's a heretic, and yeah. he was trying to reopen the temple to
Volca. Volca. I was going to say Vecna.
yeah, the temple to Vecna.
Yeah, you know. He's got the hand and the eye.
All he needs is the head, and
no,
it will be complete.
No, Vecna. Vance. Vecna is an anagram of Vance.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where the name came from.
Oh.
Like, Vancey and Magic, same guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, I know. Look at the old school fantasy.
Man, it's like naming a magic card Larry Niven's disc.
I don't know what you're talking about. But I do know what you're talking about. Or do I?
I've won a lot of magic games off the back of
Niven
Earl's
disc.
Where
were we? Oh, yeah. And so he's like, free this man. People are free to worship what gods they please.
Yeah.
And then the priest guy's like, ooh, cull. More or less.
Yeah.
And
this guy. His
at Rachmaninoff. I don't think it's on the back. Axolotl.
Littlefoot. Lightfoot.
Yeah, Lightfoot. The guy, well, Lightfoot's the guy that plays him.
Yeah. Acetaminophen is his.
Andy Benander.
Andy Richter.
He is... Hold on.
I'm gonna call him Lightfoot. Is
Ascalante.
Problem. Ascalante.
Ascalante. Caliente.
Fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
Lightfoot, his actor, played Nightwolf in Mortal Kombat Armageddon.
Annihilation,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever, which one. But yeah, that was a fun fact. But there will be another fun fact coming up. So... The three...
that's right.
The three buttholes.
Yeah, the three Kaba buttholes.
Rudy, Tootie, and Fruity.
They all Rudy, Tootie, Fresh, and Fruity.
we'll meet Fresh in a second. But they go up to this gate, and at this point, like...
They're all like, we were summoned here.
Yeah. And this, like, weird dude with a terrible latex scar over his right eye...
Yeah.
...comes up. He's like, the new king, blah, 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 blah. Something like that.
You are like, the new king dead.
And they're like, I want to help on your quest to slay this new king. But and he's a wizard, apparently. And he's
got
like
you cannot do it with mere weapons.
And then he holds up like a magic scroll. We're like, ooh.
Oh, but we also forgot his terrifying...
Oh, yeah, shaved Chewbacca.
Man.
Yeah. This goddamn creature of the Black Lagoon over here.
Yeah.
But with hair.
Creature of the Black Forest.
Black Forest ham.
Mmm.
Mmm, Black Forest cake.
Ham.
Steamed hams. And so they meet with Fresh, And he,
yeah, this is really fresh and fruity.
Yeah, he's like a Conan sort of wizard, you know.
Yeah.
Where magic is tough to do.
Yeah, magic is tough to do.
You gotta pray to the gods to get it. And
usually screws you over.
The gods are fickle beasts, anyway. So they, I think there was a scene between when the wizard does his business and that was there.
No.
Okay, so the wizard.
It skips immediately from the gate to wizard getting wizard shit done.
Yeah, and they... yeah, you're right. So they... Go ahead.
Here we have to bring up, like, the background that was in the fucking text crawl.
Yes.
Because this, like, city or kingdom or whatever was ruled by this evil lady whose name is...
This evil goddess.
Akivasha.
That one.
Akibento. Akibento, and... She ran the like country. Excuse me.
Nice.
She ran the country and was like bringing in the gates of hell.
Essentially, it was hell on earth, and that's why I assumed this was a Doom movie. But.
Well, then
do you
want to
get
hell
some water
Mars.
Real quick?
I kind of do.
Hold on, water break.
With the Hercules hook, you just push, set, and hang.
Shart.
Parch.
Parched shart. So was... what?
Parched shart.
Yeah.
That's our record label.
That's my vocal warm-up. Parched shart. Parched shart. Parched shart.
Cremulum, more like...
Premium, more like cremulum.
Premium, more like cremulum.
Parched shart.
Parched shart. Parched shart. Come. Come.
Just yelling come.
Yeah. Vigorous felching.
Ooh, cut that. Cut that noise.
Anyway, we get back to Cumbot and the Shitlords. What is this?
Come the Conqueror, you idiot.
I'm close.
Come the Conqueror.
God, what are we, 10 minutes into this movie?
Yeah, it feels like we're fucking a minute and a half into this fucking...
Yeah, this movie's an hour and a half long, which is not... That's a decent length. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's not too bad. But anyway,
So he has to... So Wizard Man is trying to bring back Evil Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Akihabara.
Akibento, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Akihabara.
Aku.
Mm.
And he does so pretty easily.
And a light, yeah.
Because she's, like, got, like, her, like, a vial of her blood, like...
Yeah, he, like, reads the scroll.
In her, like, titty wrappings.
He, like, yeah, he, like, looks through her titty
wrappings.
Because
she's, like, a mummy.
Yeah. And he's like, ah, the scroll was correct.
Yeah.
And then he pours it on a dagger... Stabs it in the fire. Because basically, another part of the backstory is that the world was like engulfed with fire. Mm-hmm. And then
Volca
cleansed it in all but one area. And that's where this takes place.
Right.
It's like a jet of fire coming out of the ground. Yeah. And so he puts the blood on the dagger and puts it in the flame of Akihabara, and stabs it into her. Oh, no, just touches her with the flame.
Yeah.
And then she comes back to life as Cassandra from Wayne's World.
Party time.
Excellent. And she's basically the Rita Repulsa of this story, more or less. And so she gets up and they're like, my queen. Basically. And,
like she heals his bad latex real quick.
Yep. She just takes off his bad latex. And
which is my autobiography. A great boon for the, like, production department.
Yeah. And I imagine the dude didn't have to sit in makeup for 2 hours to get that thing applied.
Well, you know, he basically only had to do it once. They crammed all that shooting in one day.
They crammed the entire movie into one day of shooting.
They physically couldn't, I think.
I know, there was nighttime and daytime shots.
Also, there was that cave later.
Oh, yeah. Well, that didn't have that guy, so he didn't have to worry about it.
That's true.
Just Sorby Kevin, man, and the rest of them. But, so, basically... Long story short, she's going to try and marry Cull.
She succeeds.
She succeeds at marrying Cull.
Basically, she just shows up.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, you have your choice of bride.
Yeah. It's the standard, like, you've seen it in Aladdin. Or not Aladdin, but Aladdin? Like Emperor's New Groove.
Okay.
Yep. That scene where like he goes, like David Spade is like, no, no, no. You know, I'm sure you have a great personality.
That, but.
But like shittier.
Terrible. So she's there and she uses her magic-y magic powers to sort of
wile him.
Enthrall him.
And no, she doesn't just play Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver.
I believe we can get me through
this movie.
Hold on, I didn't get that note.
Come on, one more time, one more time. Almost there, almost there. Perfect. Nice. I'm not going to have to auto-tune that at all.
The you're not going to auto-tune it at all.
Are you kidding me? Nope.
I actually kind of botched that joke because the point is to just keep doing the same note over and over.
Almost there, almost there. Hey! Oh, no, almost a little higher. Hey! Almost there, almost there. Hey! Got it.
There you go. And that's the joke, ladies and gentlemen.
Ba-da-bow! So she rails him.
They rail.
They monorail.
They fuck as hard as PG-13 will allow.
Yeah, with like a shroud over their genitals. And no toddy.
No toddy. Exactly, I think, 3 toddies in the entire film.
All of them drawn.
2 of them are drawn.
What was the 3rd toddy?
Later on, we see a demon toddy.
Oh, yeah. Terrible Diablo 1 demon toddy.
And it's awful.
It's bad.
It's not good.
It's not a hot toddy.
It's not good.
That's a delicious beverage.
It's not good.
It's not good. It's not good.
It's not good.
I don't know why I'm suddenly Ringo.
I wrote a song about an octopus.
Peace and love, peace and love.
So, where were we? She like, shoots some fire from, like, a fire loogie from her throat.
She, like...
Yeah, she like gives him like a fire lung oyster right into his mouth.
Yeah, right in there, and it quote unquote kills him.
Yeah, and she's like, oh my god, he's dead. So the whole city thinks he's dead. They have a dude on a thing, but then we find out he's down in her dungeon.
Yeah.
Or in the wizard guy's dungeon.
Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't want to kill you because you really fucked me good, more or less.
That is almost entirely the full context of that.
Yeah, she's like,
I hadn't fucked for 3,000 years. I got laid the first night I'm back.
God damn. It was like a tree trunk. It was incredible. But,
split me in twain.
Or really small but very agile.
Yeah.
like a whip.
Just getting in there.
Like, you know those things that are like, they spin to whip things up, but it's like a little long and thin and flexible. It's like that, and then you get it in there. It's like, hits me in all the right spots.
I assume that's what she said. But
it's hard to pinpoint what anyone says in this film.
Yeah, because goddamn the dialogue's so poorly written. They try to torture him. He breaks out.
Of course.
I'm not going to detail that.
He fights the ape.
He fights hairless Chewbacca. Well, no, he's not fully hairless. Well, whatever. Star Trek Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And he gets out, and the queen like says, "We will find." Wait, that's later, I think.
Yeah. So they're preparing for a funeral.
Yes. Oh, and they're like, they think that fortune teller lady. They frame her essentially. Yeah,
they frame her, and they're gonna burn her at the same time that they cremate.
Because she got sassy at the wedding.
Yeah.
Because she, in the 2 minutes that her and Cull met, apparently got a thing for him.
Oh, yeah.
There's
yeah.
a distinct lack of character and relationship development in this entire movie.
Oh, yeah.
Even Cull, the dude that has 80% of this movie's screen time, arc.
Like, anything that we learn about him occurred in a past that we do not see.
Exactly. And not, the backstory, like, Crawl didn't even describe it either.
And this isn't the case of, like, oh, this is a movie where, you know, it's the third movie in a series. In order to get this backstory, you would kind of have to watch the first 2 movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because they literally had to adjust this guy to be a different person than Conan.
Exactly.
So, like, watching Conan 1 and 2 ain't going to get you any information about Kull.
It's going to give you diddly and squat.
Kull is completely different as a person. He's a pirate.
Yeah. Yeah. A little more, I don't want to say it, a little more charming. Oh, God, that hurt to say.
He's more charming than Arnold Schwarzenegger just by virtue of you can understand a goddamn word he's saying.
He's a little more charming than a bag of rocks. But.
Yeah, back to God's Not Dead 4.
Back to God's Not Dead 4, starring Shrek. And so, what happens? I don't fucking remember what happens. He talks to
Lightfoot,
the priest dude. Yeah. Thunderstone, whatever his name is.
Power Stone World.
And he basically gives him some plot.
And then they sneak around and they beat up the dudes.
Oh, yeah, and they find that the body they were using was one of, like, the guardsmen.
The first guardsman that kneeled.
Yeah.
Before a call.
Yeah. And they fight some minions.
They fight basically everyone.
It's all just, like, random encounter sort of shit.
They fight their way through. Very, very Dungeons & Dragons. Very, very video gamey. And we can really boil down the rest of the plot of the movie as Cole decides he needs to go somewhere. They go there. They fight. Moving on.
Yeah, let's just zoom through the rest of this plot, because goddamn. They realize that,
So they have to go north because they need something called the Breath of Volca.
The Breath of Volca.
Which is the only thing they can put out, the evil fire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might be wondering, hey, if Volca was the one who put out all the fires in the first place, why didn't he just, like...
put out that last bit?
Well, it was to leave a reminder to people that evil exists, and you should fight it.
Great idea.
And I'm like, hey.
Volca, you're an idiot.
Volca, you're a fucking moron. Worst god.
So they sail to an ice cave through some long, convoluted side plot that I don't give a shit about.
Here's where we meet...
Harvey Fierstein.
Yep.
And playing.
He's exactly the kind of character you would expect him to be playing in this film.
He's like a merchant who got rich off of the pirating that Kevin Sorbo did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. He's a sleazeball.
It doesn't matter. He drugs him and tries to sell him back to fucking.
He tries to ransom him, essentially.
Aki Bento.
Yep, back to Hakuna Matata.
Fucking Cole, like, breaks out and throws people overboard.
Because he's Cole, and
he's a fucking barbarian. He's got 25 strength.
They get to the cave with the breath of heaven.
Hold me together! Blah, 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 Jesus! Breath of heaven! Send help!
And they realize, it needs to go into Lady.
Yeah, because...
Because prophecy.
There's prophecy and, like... So it's actually a really inventive puzzle.
Yes.
Because it's a room full of frozen dudes.
Mm-hmm. And there's, like, a wall where if you go past it, you freeze.
Right, immediately.
Like, yeah, this cave sequence with the breath of heaven was, I was actually, like, kind of inspired by it, like, D&D-wise. Because I was like, this is kind of cool.
It's a very D&D
room. It feels very tabletop RPG. But, no, it just felt cool. And, like, the idea that there's, like, this mystical force that a character can get, but only a certain character can get it.
Right.
And I'm like, that's cool. Like, rather than just, like, grabbing a sword that you can then go stab someone with, it's like, right. No, this is, like, a force that someone has to occupy someone. Yeah.
And it has to pick a particular person, and it matters based on, like,
the prophecy
and stuff that's mattered throughout the entire plot of the film.
That was cool.
And the thing is, change be the catalyst or something like that?
Cause be the catalyst.
Cause be the catalyst.
Mm-hmm. Cause be the carrier.
Cause be the carrier.
Yes.
The essential thing is that whatever caused the problem that
crunch
needs
be the
you,
berries.
Whatever crunched the berries that needed you... to need the breath of Volca in the first place, that's the only person that can walk up to and receive the breath.
Yeah, so she walks right through this.
What caused this whole problem?
Smoochin'.
A lady.
Yeah, smooching.
Smooching ladies.
Yeah, smooching them ladies.
Because a woman is the problem. A woman must carry the burden. And
which is awful sexist.
That's a little sexist, but also like, okay, matters to the plot.
It'll come back around. It'll come back around.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So she like disrobes on her way over there. Seems like a problem.
Yeah. I'm like, why? But
although to be fair, the cold doesn't seem to affect her until she's already
got the
breath.
The cold didn't bother her anyway.
I've never hated you more. That's a lie.
Could you hear the seething anger?
Could you feel it?
Could you hear the people sing?
Singing the songs of angry me?
Gonna punch DJ in the face for that stupid fucking joke.
Yeah, no, she Elsa's up.
Yep. And then she like passes out and her hair turns gray.
Because she's freezing.
Yeah, she's very cold. And then
Kenny Loggins
and his band of brothers.
Merry assholes.
Yeah. They come a marching in.
And they just start fucking killing people left and right.
Murder, 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 death, murder. This is where Hakuna Matata dies.
Yes. Acetaminophen.
Acetaminophen. And he was fortune teller lady's brother, by mm-hmm. the way. Side note. And because they had a history and like Kull saw it and was like, ooh, you're in love.
Literally.
It was the Han Solo Leia Luke thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not heavy, he's my brother.
Actually, almost exactly word for word.
Another Star Wars reference.
Yeah. I think immediately after that one in
yes.
a cutaway.
In a it's Akihabara mm-hmm. and wizard dude
yeah.
talking. And a couple times she's like tortured him a bit with fire because he's been
yeah, yeah.
a little asshole.
Yeah, so she's healed him and also wounded him.
Mm-hmm. And something comes up where he's like, that was part of the pact. And she's like, I've altered the pact. Pray I don't alter it further. And I'm like, hi, Darth Vader.
Hello, Darth.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Party on, Darth.
Party on, Bane.
Oh, I see you've come to rock and roll. You think this rock and roll show is your friend? I was born from it.
Hello, my name is Bane. Order whenever you're ready. Alright, number three. Oh, do you want hot or mild? Alright, curly or regular fries? Perfect. How about... What drink did you want? Okay, was there anything else that you wanted in your order? Alright, two salads. One with ranch, one with blue cheese. And an order of small baby bacon bites. Is that everything? Alright, your total is 2036 at the next window, please. Molded by it!
And that was the Bane at the drive-thru bit.
Banebur King. And, excuse me while I go...
Flange yourself.
Flange myself?
Yeah, you hit yourself with fingers.
Hold on, let me flange myself right now on the audio. I'm flanging! I just flanged myself. And, so...
I'm so tired.
I know. So the breath of lady with the breath of heaven. Long story short,
she's got the breath of Volca, and
blah blah blah
gets kidnapped. Obviously,
which is completely
call like
stupid.
Floods the cave
to get out.
To get out, and he
out.
Just makes
goes
it.
Back to town.
So this
goes
end,
back to Skyholm.
This end bit is actually kind of like. Kind of dope.
Wait, yeah.
The whole
the
ending sequence.
Diablo titties?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
It's kind of cool.
It was kind of cool.
Cause like,
the way the prophecy made a circle.
Yeah,
kinda,
yeah.
Because so, the Cosby the Carrier thing, like, What's-Her-Face gets, like, knocked out.
Yes.
And Rita Repulsa is turning into a demon. Rita Repulsa's Akihabara is Cassandra from Wayne and Garth.
Wayne and Garth.
Wayne and Garth go to cities. And
Wayne and Garth go to get donuts.
Yep, Wayne and Garth sing Bohemian Rhapsody. And so she's turning into her final form, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, her final Frieza form.
True demon stand. And so she knocks away Breath of Heaven. And Conan,
the whole thing was that she was supposed to just be able to put out the evil fire.
Yeah, because Kenny Loggins was like, she's not going to take the town. I want the crown because I'm a selfless bastard.
Yeah.
And so he throws her into the fire, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And like it works for a bit. And then she gets knocked out. And so Cole runs over to... Did I call him Conan? I feel like I just called him... Anyway, Cole runs over to her and he's like, cause be the carrier. And he realizes like everything that this movie revolves around was caused by a kiss. So kisses, they kiss, and she transfers the breath of
into him.
Vecna into him. And so he then is like, oh, I have to kiss this ugly ass demon now. And so she goes up to her. She's like, I got bacon lips.
Come kiss your queen.
Come to me, mama. And then,
and like he gets close to her and she's like,
cold, you're so cold.
No, you're cold. And he grabs the head and goes, and just plants one on her.
Makes out with her, and then she like breathes ice and then like
dies.
The fire goes out.
Although there is a really sick sequence before that where Wizard Guy has his staff, and the top of the staff pops off into a dagger with a snake head.
And he throws it.
At a Cull, and he like catches it and is like, no. And then the snake head goes, man. And he's like, ah. And then he throws it back at the wizard.
Catches it snake on mouth.
Yeah, gets snake mouth on mouth, and he falls back into the column of fire and just disintegrates.
We also neglected to point out, in the ice cave, the fucking fight scene there had fucking, like, the most we're trying to use wherever I may roam, really but was. We definitely cannot afford it.
Most of the fight scenes had the most... cheap electric guitar plus Casio virtual instruments soundtrack. I'll see if I can find some audio from it. Yeah?
That was pretty good.
Did I? I don't know.
It was either a fucking...
It was either a music clip from Cull or...
A slip and slide Super Geyser commercial.
Exactly. So, I mean...
Or Power Wheel.
You'll find out as soon as we do.
Yeah.
And, end of movie.
Basically.
He becomes king and...
Oh, yeah, for real this time.
Yeah, he marries What's-Her-Face. He breaks the laws.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the eunuch was
He literally
babbling
like,
on about the laws.
He literally breaks the like tablets.
I rule with
holding
this
the
axe.
Laws.
Yeah, and he smashes the Hammurabi tablets.
I rule with this axe. Anyone who wants to
and my bow.
Anyone who doesn't like my rule can come take my
can
throne
go
from
fuck
me.
Themselves. More or less. And everyone's like, yay, and he frees all the slaves and disbands the harem. Which is sad because they were just about to go on tour. And
the PTA is disbanded.
And that's
Cull the Conqueror.
Cull the Conqueror. God almighty, does it deserve its rating.
Yeah.
It is a trashterpiece.
There's a lot of good in it.
It's super fun to riff on.
Oh, definitely.
But it's so quick.
It's a big reason why like we didn't feel like talking a whole lot about the plot is because it's actually really hard to follow what happens and in what order.
It's so lightning quick, and the problem is a good chunk of it relies on an underpinning of the world's mythology that you don't get,
or rather that it doesn't focus
so
a whole lot
given.
On
yeah exactly
like the whole Volca thing, like is it an ice god,
is he a wind god? Is he a god that just cries when he gets an axe in his nose?
I mean, who wouldn't?
That's true. I would.
If you got an axe in your nose, you'd probably cry pretty hard.
Yeah. I think most people would.
Or die.
Scream. Scream a lot.
Might just die.
Yeah, because, like, axe to the nose, that's
That's pretty close to brain.
Depends on how deep it goes, you know?
It's pretty close to brain.
Yeah. It's close to brain, but it's not as bad as palm striking... Hit their nose, crush the brain.
That breaks the cartilage and sends it up to the brain, and then they die.
Yeah, exactly.
China is here, Jack Bird.
China is here, Jack Bird.
What movie is that from?
Big Trouble in Little China?
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah, brother. Which is way better than Call of Conqueror. But I would actually still say, check it out if you can, but don't seek it out.
Oh, I would recommend it.
Don't seek it. Like, don't go on a quest
for Call the Conqueror.
No, it's not worth it. But if you manage to find a copy...
If you wanted to watch a movie that was definitely written by, like, a D&D nerd who's just trying to, like, get across that feeling...
Who is mad that the movie turned out so bad because apparently the studio mingled in it a lot, according to the writer.
They probably wanted more one-liners.
God, the one-liners were awful. But it was better if you thought of them as Schwarzenegger saying them.
Yeah, I pointed that out. It was like, chill. Because a lot of them are Schwarzenegger one-liners.
Yeah. But even then, they're not like punny. They're just like, it's like someone says something, says, no, you. It's sort of that.
Yeah.
Which,
dude, watch a Schwarzenegger movie. Most of his one-liners are just that.
The hell with you.
Yeah.
Not the hell with you.
In this, like, I get that he's not Conan.
Right.
But like,
or Conan O'Brien,
Conan, the librarian's whole thing is that like he'll pray to the gods or whatever. But if they don't respond to him or do the thing that he wants,
fuck him.
He'll just say fuck you then, and then just start killing people.
Yeah.
And like, this is very religious movie.
Yeah.
Because like, a god's like blessing is required to stop the evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is very video gamey.
Yeah. It was a...
This is probably the best, like, video game movie.
This is the best... I got nothing,
It's
dude.
Better than Prince of Persia.
Oh, my God, right?
How
about Doom starring Rock the Dwayne Johnson?
All right, this is the second best video game movie.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Ooh, Mortal Kombat Regular.
Oh, it's way better than Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah, but that's not hard to do.
No, I mean...
Although that movie does have our favorite Bush.
Oh, Grand L.
Grand L Bush as Balrog.
Ah, love him.
But I give this movie a solid 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, for fun factor?
Yeah, for fun factor and riffability.
Yeah, I'm gonna piggyback on that rating.
It's not... It's not a good movie by any means.
It's not Flying Ryan amazing.
No.
Flying Ryan is our 10 out of 10 scale right now. For me, at least.
Sure.
In terms of entertainment for a bad movie.
Yeah.
I can't put Future Sport on there because it's too good.
You're right. It's a too good of a... it's a legitimately, pretty good movie.
And goddamn... What was the other one? Free Jack. Also far too good of a movie.
Here's my thing.
Yes.
Free Jack's an 11.
Free Jack is an 11. You're absolutely right. You cannot rate anything that stars Mick Jagger and an Estevez as less than a 10.5.
Probably put Future Sport as a 10 on that scale.
You're equating it with Flying Ryan?
Yeah.
You know, I'll give that to you. Yeah.
Because while Flying Ryan is objectively like a really garbage movie,
mm-hmm.
and...
God, is it fun.
And Future Sport isn't necessarily a garbage movie.
No. It's definitely a B movie.
At
minimum.
But it's like, it's real fun.
It's absolutely fun.
I don't know. I can't think of one that's that we've watched and enjoyed that wouldn't go pretty high up on the scale.
True. That's very true.
We are going to be the game. Because I don't know. Why Do Bad Things Happen was pretty bad.
Yeah.
That whole saga.
Yeah, that whole early us saga.
Was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad.
Math was okay.
Math was fun. It was more informational.
Sure.
Fuck. What about Mac and Me.
McGee and Me?
McGee and Me.
Awful.
Yeah.
Dreadful.
Hated it.
But you know what?
It stinks.
Carl was very religious in this movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think we need to get back to our roots. And boy, do I have one picked out already.
God, help me.